Wish to greet you this morning in Christ's name. Thankful again to be here, be able to be gathered together with the family of God. Trust that we've come praying. You know, I believe as I was thinking about that this morning, about praying for a service, and spent some time this morning doing that, and I was convicted that I don't do it enough. One thought that came to me is I believe if we fail to to call upon God before we come together like this, that the service will not be as meaningful as it should be. And I was convicted of that. And it's my desire to spend more time in prayer, and I encourage us all to spend time in prayer. When we gather together and look at the Word of God, open ourselves up to it. For a text this morning, turn with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. The setting here is when Jesus was before Pilate and was being accused by the Jews. Their desire was to do away with him. Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate was being pressured to condemn Jesus to death, and he was questioning Jesus. In verses 33 through 38, we have, I guess you would say, a little conversation between Pilate and Jesus. Let's read those verses. Verse 33, John 18. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Well, there are different things from this passage that we could use for a message this morning. But in verse 37, Jesus said that he bears witness unto the truth. I bear witness unto the truth. And he goes on to say, that everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I would like for us to think about the question then that Pilate asked Jesus when Jesus talked to him about the truth, when Jesus said these words. Pilate asked the question, What is truth? Have you ever wondered that? I have. I've wondered that a lot of times. What is truth? Well, that question, or the answer to that question, is something that I believe needs to be settled in my life. It needs to be settled in your life. What is truth? And this morning, I would like to look into the Word of God and see, finally, that is the truth, and see what it can do to you and I as day by day we live the Christian life. How important is truth? Or what is truth? A question that Pilate asks. This morning, it kind of slipped my mind now, but in Sunday school, Aaron mentioned something about the truth. I started jotting it down, and I'm not exactly how those thoughts were anymore, but reference was made to what is truth, living by the truth. That is what we are called to do. So, I've entitled the message this morning, Our Commitment to Truth. As we think of our commitment, we have all made commitments. We have made commitments to truth, I believe, since the first of the year. I have been to 4 different baptism services where commitments were made. It did me well to remember. It does us all well to remember in those times the commitments that we made to Jesus Christ when we took that step. I remember well the day in my life when I committed my life to Jesus and I made a commitment to follow him. I remember that well. I said that I would deny my own self. I said I would deny my will, my carnal flesh, and the things of the world. And those of us who are a part of the church have all made that commitment to do that. Well, we all need reminded. And this morning I stand before you as a person who needs to be reminded from time to time of the commitments that I made. I need to look into God's word. I need to examine my life. Am I living that commitment? Am I being true to that commitment? I think that is something that we do well to think about every day, where we consider our commitment to God. So this morning, I would like to think about our commitment to truth and then think about what is truth, kind of those two things. Today, there are many people who are wondering, maybe not even wondering. Maybe they don't know what the truth is. We know what it is to say the truth. Most of us probably have heard it again and again. We've heard it said again and again. Possibly it was told to us by our parents when we were growing up that if you always say the truth, you will never have to worry about what you said. My parents used to tell me that. You've probably heard that before. Well, this morning, the enemy of our soul would promote not always telling the truth. And this morning, we want to look at something that goes deeper than just honesty, being honest, deeper than just speaking the truth. When I committed my life to live in obedience to God, I committed my life to truth. A commitment to truth is to dedicate my life to truth, to determine to walk in it no matter what the circumstances are. We could go back and look at a lot of examples. We could look in the martyr's mirror, in history, in scripture, and even in the life of people we have known and see that they had and see individuals that had committed themselves to truth no matter what the circumstances. And they were able to do that by the grace of God. They were able to live that by the power of God. How is it with you and I? I came across this quote, "Truth is all that originates and issues forth from God." John 14:6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 17, when Jesus was with his disciples there in the upper room, Jesus, in his prayer for those who were with him, he said in verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That is truth. The word of God is truth. Jesus Christ came. He is part of the triune Godhead. We know that. But he was sent by God to come down here to earth, to live, to teach, to give an example, to give his life. He says, "I am the way." He says, "I am the truth." And he gave his life. He says he is the life. And so this is truth. God is a God that cannot lie. God is a God that is truth. He's just. He's right. And this morning we need to have that settled in our minds. We are living in a time when there are so many, I mentioned this already, that are trying to figure out truth, and many that are trying to figure out a way to not accept this, what I was just saying here about God, to not accept that as truth. First of all, I'd like to think now just a bit about the word commitment. I think it does as well to ponder that a bit before we think about go more into truth, but what is commitment? As I thought about that, my mind went to several examples that we have in Scripture that to me were outstanding examples of commitment, the kind of commitment that I believe that God expects from us. I will mention one here and then look at several others just a bit later. But I thought of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, the first chapter, let's turn to that. Ruth chapter 1. We know the story, how Elimelech took his wife and two sons of Moab. The two sons got married, and we know what happened. All the men died. So Naomi decided to go back to her people. Her two daughter-in-laws thought to go with her. Naomi encouraged them then to stay with their own people. She told them, really, there's no reason for you to go back with me. I have no more sons. You will not have another husband from my lineage. The verses I want to think about in relation to commitment are verses 16 and 17. Let's read those verses. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." To me, this is a real example of commitment. Here was a daughter-in-law that said to mother-in-law, "I'm going with you. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I die." And I especially like the last phrase where it says, "If aught but death part thee and me." That is what I call commitment. That was a challenge to me. Do you think of commitment to truth in that way? If aught but death do part me from thee. I trust we do. I trust we think of it in that way. And I'd just like to challenge us with the thought, as we think of the promises that we have made to God, what I have committed my life to. You know, we face many things. We face difficult things at times. We don't know what the future holds for our lives. I don't know what all I didn't know back there when I made that commitment when I was 12 years old. I didn't know what all life would have for me. I didn't know what all God would have for me. Well, as we commit our life to Him, as we build it upon the truth of His Word, it doesn't matter. That commitment to Christ will take us through. There are many things that we encounter in life that we had no idea of when we made that initial commitment to God. So, that commitment, is it real in my heart? Do I, without a shadow of a doubt, believe that this is the Word of God and that it is truth? It is truth. It is given to us by the inspiration of God. It will never change. It will never be put away. May we stand on that no matter what we face. May we be committed to that. May we be committed to obeying the Word of God and the direction of God for our lives, to where only death will stop us from living that. May we have such a commitment to God that in this life it may be a help and inspiration to others to live in obedience to the Word of God. And so that's the burden for this message this morning. Being committed to truth calls for contending for it. We are to contend for it. We are to fight for it. Not a physical warfare, but a spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle. If we don't believe that, then I don't think we are really committed. We haven't really committed ourselves to truth in the way that we should have. We are in a spiritual battle. We have an enemy who is determined to get us to turn away from the truth of God's word, turn away from the obedience of God's word. And it's a fight. It's a continual struggle. The devil has one goal in mind, and that is to destroy it, to take out the props, the foundation away from us, the truth of God's word. Am I committed to truth? Luke chapter 9, you can turn with me there. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says these words, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow him." Christ calls us to that personal commitment to him, that commitment of denying ourself, that commitment to deny our carnal nature, that commitment to deny our own will. There are so many things that my nature would like to do that would not glorify God. That is the nature that is within us. We must deny those things. We must lay them down. We must pick up the cross. What is that cross? I don't know what all that is going to be in my life. You don't know what all that is going to be in your life. But are we willing to commit our lives entirely to the obedience of the Word of God and the will of God? Scripture is very clear that we are not to make provision for the flesh. We could name quite a list. Fulfillment of the flesh, the lusts, the desires of the flesh, the pride of life, the seeking of prestige, the convenience of life, financial security. We could make it quite practical. On and on the list could go. These are some things that I believe commitment to truth is to be willing to deny these things to follow Christ. Now, I'm not here to say I don't believe that God expects or calls us to just make life miserable. No, that's not what God calls us to. Doing without any kind of convenience or any kind of comfort to be his child. But sometimes I believe that we have to say no. We have to say no to some things as we go through life in order to be obedient to the call of God to take up that cross, to go where he wills us to go. The path that Christ chooses for my life and your life is a committed, sold unto truth life. And it will not always be an easy life. But we only walk in truth as we follow God, as we follow in his footsteps, as we follow in obedience to him. Well, we have many examples. I mentioned that one of Ruth, the thought of commitment. Another couple that I thought of that I thought worth mentioning here for our example, one would be that of Abraham. Think about Abraham's commitment to truth. When God called out to Abraham to take his only son, "You take him out there and you sacrifice him to me." We read that Abraham did that. We read that Abraham rose up early in the morning. He took fire and he took his son, and they headed out there to sacrifice him. You know, as I think about that, Abraham went out to do exactly that, specifically that, what God had told him to do. He made no provisions to do anything else but specifically what God said. He didn't take a lamb along just in case God would change his mind. But I believe he was committed to the will of God. We see that in what he did. He went early in the morning with no intention of not doing what God asked him to do. Another example that I thought of is that of Joseph. When Joseph was sold and taken to that faraway land, did he forget what he was taught? Did he forget God? No, he did not. When Joseph was tempted to commit sin, it was obvious that he had not forgotten God. It was obvious that he had not forgotten the truth of God. He remembered his commitment. You know, the devil has such subtle ways to get us to deviate from truth, to get us to deviate from being obedient to truth. When Joseph was tempted, as I understand it, Joseph was alone in the house with Potiphar's wife. And when she pressured him to commit sin, Joseph could have thought, well, no one is here. No one will ever find out. Is that what Joseph thought? I believe Joseph thought about God. He thought about his commitment to God. It's obvious that he did. Joseph realized that no matter if anyone finds out or not, God will know. This morning, when we are tempted to do something that is not right, not follow our commitment to truth, whether we are with professing godly people or out there in the world where no one is a child of God, we must remember to look up to the one who we are going to have to give account to. I believe that Joseph trusted and committed himself to God. I also thought of the three Hebrew men who were being pressured to pray to that image. They were threatened. They were threatened to be thrown into the fiery furnace. They did not waver in their commitment to God. What was their response? Our God will save us. But even if he don't, we will not fall down and pray to that idol. I call that commitment. Today I believe that the devil again has set up many things to get us to worship an idol. Maybe it's not a particular image, but are we committed? Well, we need to move on. I'd like to look now at some reasons. Not sure. I think I might have eight of them, something like that. And I'd like to look at some reasons why I should be committed to truth. If you care to, you can write these down. Why I should be committed to truth. Number one, truth is our light and lamp. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Has these words. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This morning, God's word is where we find light. It is where we can see. It is where things become obvious. It is the light that will guide me to heaven. When I know the word of God, when I look into it, it is the truth. It is the way to God. It is the way to our eternal home. When I allow that light to shine on my path, to direct me, then guess what? The way becomes clear. The shadows are gone. It's clear that we can see how to move ahead. Truth is that to me today. Truth is our light and our lamp. Number two, truth will be our judge. Let's turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. All right, here we have the word of God, the word of truth being our judge. The word of God is going to be my judge. Truth will judge every one of us without exception. God is not going to say, when we stand before him, well, this time I'm going to judge you by some other method, by some other measurement. No, God has given us the truth, and at the end of life, that is what my life will be judged by. And I trust that we allow it to judge us today, to judge and direct our lives right now. Our destiny will be determined by how we have related and how we have responded to the truth of God's word. The word of truth. Let's not forget that our destiny is not a matter of chance. It is a matter of choice, a matter of choosing today where I want to spend eternity. The Word of God is going to be the judge. It is not going to be according to the theories of men. You know, there are all kinds of theories that man can come up with. You hear explanations sometimes when Scripture is being explained away, that, or when God's Word is being explained away, that this doesn't pertain to life today. This portion is not relevant to our time. Let's not be deceived. It is the truth of God, and it does not change. It has stayed the same down through time. I'm not saying that we can never make a change, but that change must come about, must be sanctioned by the Word of God. It's not my thinking or your thinking, but what does the Word of God say? Number three, another thing about truth. Truth is enduring. I'm so thankful for that. Truth is enduring. How thankful are we for a word, a guideline, a lamp for our feet that is not going to be one way today and another way tomorrow. But it endures. You know, we can deceive people for a time and make them think something that is not true. Well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Talking about the lip of truth, I believe is what is in that, in this verse here that I'm looking for. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Again, we can deceive people for a time and make them think something that is not true, but usually, finally, it becomes known. Truth will endure. It will stand. Another one, number four. Truth is a protection. And I like this. I like this one. I like this thought. Truth is a protection. What did Jesus do when Satan came and tempted him there in the wilderness? What were his words? Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written." What did he say? "It is written." Again, referring to the Word of God. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That is what man will live by, and that is how Jesus responded to the temptation from the devil. This morning, I believe it is important that this is settled in our minds, that this is the Word of God. We cannot overemphasize that enough. It is the Word of God, and it is truth. It is important that we know it, and it is important that we desire to know it, because we are bombarded by our enemy, by the enemy of our souls, and we will continue to be bombarded by the enemy of our souls as long as we live here in the flesh. The closer that we come to the end of our life, he's going to try to get us to trip up. I think the older that we get, the more we realize that. I used to think that, well, the older I get, the more stronger I'll become. And in a sense, maybe that is the case. We become more familiar with God's Word. But, you know, the older that we get, the closer that we get to the time when Christ takes us home, the devil, I believe, is out. He's out to take us away from the truth of God's Word. So truth is a protection. When we are going through rough times in life, we face many things. You name it, temptations, trials, sickness, mistreatments, misunderstandings. If we turn to the Word of God, it will protect. It will protect us from those things. Jesus Christ is the truth that anchors our faith on that solid rock. Number five, truth is the foundation of the church. Truth is the foundation of the church. not going to turn to it, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, I believe it is, talks about that Christ is the head of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, has these words, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." There we have it, the foundation. Jesus Christ, the word of truth, is that foundation. Christ is the foundation, the cornerstone. The true church is not built upon the theories and philosophies of men, but it is built on the word of God, truth. Let's just turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15. Paul speaking here. He says these words, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Again, truth is the foundation of the church. As such, it will stand the tests of time. Number 6. Commitment to truth for the sake of our posterity. Why is it important for us to be fully committed to truth? Well, we've been looking at a number of things, but I believe that living in obedience to the truth is also for the benefits of those who are following us, for those who are coming on behind, whether it's our children. That's what I had in mind in thinking about this, our families. Commitment to the truth for those who are coming on, it makes a difference. If we allow ourselves to be turned away from truth, not obey, not follow the leading of God, what happens? Well, children usually follow after. I believe most of us have probably seen examples of that. It's not just a blessing for us to follow truth, but it is a blessing for others as well. This thought of children following after and seeing examples of that, thank God that it doesn't have to be that way where children follow a bad example or where truth is not followed. But so often, that is the case. The challenge I would like to leave with us in this is that you and I, if we are a father or a mother, may we recognize it as serious enough that it causes us to be more committed to truth so that those who follow can benefit and also receive the blessings of God. I do. I finally realize that it is. It finally comes to every individual's choice that they need to make. That certainly is true. But the influence of those going before, the influence of parents, again, it plays a very vital part. Number 7, commitment to truth is my responsibility. Commitment to truth is my responsibility. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like to read a couple of verses there. It is a call from God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Paul writing here to Timothy, evil and ungodliness are going to get worse. That is the way it's going to be. But he says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. It is our responsibility to contend for the faith, contend for the truth, that it may go on. You know, as I pondered that, you know, there are things within the leadership of this country that burden our hearts. We are concerned about that, and rightfully so. We see a great lack of godliness, a lack of recognizing the ways of God. Well, I would like to challenge us this morning. Why do we have that kind of leadership? Why do we have that kind of leadership in this land? No, it's not because you and I didn't vote. Why do we have what we have in America today? You know, I think that God is giving this land the kind of leaders that it is worthy of. You think about that. We need to wake up. We have a responsibility to contend for the faith, be obedient to the truth of God's word. A lot rests on us as individuals. It all rests on us as individuals in our commitment, the commitment that we make to God's word. Number eight. I believe this is, oh no, this isn't quite the last one. I have one more. Number eight, commitment to truth will change our lives. Commitment to truth will change our lives. If we have truly committed ourselves to the Word of God and to the obedience of it, it will change my life, guaranteed. It will change your life. You know, today we have this easy religion out there that wants to make people believe that, oh, you just need to pray the sinner's prayer and you need to confess your faults to Jesus Christ, and there's really not much more than that you have to do. But yes, there is. We must obey. We must live the Word of God. If we do that, it will bring about a change. It will do that. It will do that to my life. It will do that to my attitudes. It will do that to my goals that I have. I encourage you to read Psalm 119, verses 161 through 167. I'm going to refer to a few of those verses. We won't turn to those now, but I encourage you to read them. What did the word of truth do to David? What did it mean to him? Well, in verse 161, David was in awe of God's word. As he thought of God's word, he was in awe of it. In verse 162, he rejoiced. He rejoiced to know God's word. If we have not committed our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we do not have that deep desire to want to know more, to want to know the word of God. Maybe that is a good way to measure our commitment. Do I really want to know the word of God? Verse 163, it brought hatred for sin. That's what God's word did. It brought a hatred for sin, but it brought a love for more of the word of God. Verse 164, the things of God became a priority of life. If our commitment to truth does not change the priorities in my life, I question whether we have really committed our life to God. I believe as we become committed to truth and to the work of God's kingdom, there are things that it will affect. It will affect my everyday decisions. It will affect my everyday walk. The more we are committed to God and to His kingdom work, it will do that. I believe as we are committed to the work of God's kingdom, then my life and your life will revolve around the church and its functions. Those things will be important to us. When the church has to revolve around me and my life, then I question the commitment that I have to truth. Verse 165 says, it brings peace and life that is not easily offended. Just because somebody did something or said something I don't like, or even because somebody is not living their life as consistent as maybe I think that they should be, it will not cause me to stumble when I am committed to truth as I should be. Number 9, the last one. Commitment to truth Commitment to truth will be with an open and obedient heart. It searches, commitment to truth searches for truth with an obedient and open and obedient heart. As I read the Word of God, I am not looking for loopholes for not doing what I don't want to do, or a loophole for doing what I like to do. A loophole to say that the church really has no right to require that of me. When I'm committed to truth, I look into the Word of God and really want to know what it requires of my life. What is God really requiring of me, that when I get to the end of life and God takes the book, His Word, the word that He has spoken and judges my life, that He can welcome me into the gates of heaven. In conclusion, I would like to say that commitment to truth creates within my life and my soul a desire to see Jesus. Do we anticipate Christ's return? Are we living in obedience to God in such a way that we can say with Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Yes, in a sense, we all struggle with the thought of passing through this life. That is our human nature. We want to go on living, I guess, is a way we could put it. But do we really anticipate? Could we really say, oh, what a blessing, if today we would hear the trumpet of God sound and the clouds roll back and we would see Jesus? Are we ready? Are we that committed? Have we committed ourselves to truth in a way that this is something that we are really looking forward to? It was a challenge to me as I thought about that and what I want to let with each one of us. Let's kneel together in prayer.